If there are such craft in our skies, why are they not a more common sight, such as our regular aircraft? A. First, they are not our regular aircraft. Second, they are considered alien to our skies. Thirdly, it has to be a slow process in reaching the people because of the hostile nature of this planet. Q. Why don't they make proper visits through channels of government, or mass meetings and landings? A. Mass landings, great displays, and the like would only cause confusion. The military would be involved immediately, the governments of the world would be in turmoil, each seeking its own advantage. There would be hysteria and, possibly, panic. And so, in the interest of humanity, the space people approach us cautiously. Incidentally, space visitors do not have identification papers and passports. If we now investigate and counter-investigate every suspected alien who might be suspected of being a foreign agent, what would we do if confronted with people who are entirely new, strange, and alien to our planet? There would be endless investigations and controversy, and the work and message the space people have come to deliver would be snowed under by red tape. I doubt whether they have the time or inclination to play this silly Earth game of intrigue and counter-espionage. So they come directly to the people, by contacting their own, and people will learn of them over a period of time, gradually, without fear, panic or censorship. Every great movement has always started with the people, and that is where the space story belongs, with the people. Q. If they can speak our language, why don't they come among us and announce themselves, as we would do if we went to another planet? A. They have tried, but people would not believe them, mainly because they look and act like us, and are not monsters with 6 or 8 arms. Q. How long have they been coming into our atmosphere? A. For thousands and thousands of years. Q. Why don't they tell us about the wonderful experience of space flight? A. They have, through certain people, and these certain people are willing to listen and believe whether or not they see, and also some of the information divulged must be kept secret. Q. What is the place of the space people in the cosmos? Do they come from different dimensions? A. They are spiritual beings, like ourselves, using physical forms adapted to their own planets. There is time around their planets within their atmosphere just as on Earth, but there is no time in space. Q. Is this their first or early beginnings of flight into space? A. No. They have been traveling in space for thousands of years. Q. How do they regard us? A. As brothers. They love us. Q. Why do they come here? What is their purpose? A. To try and awaken within us a yearning for higher understanding so we can help ourselves in preventing any further destruction of our planet, which could conceivably have a bad effect in our solar system. It is about time we grew up as a humanity. Q. From what planets are they coming? A. From planets outside our own solar system or distant galaxies. Q. What are the main different types of craft? A. Discs are remotely controlled objects sent out from the master ships to record thoughts, emotions, feelings and other conditions of the people in their area, also to detect hostility before landing. Some of these recordings are used for future contacts with the individuals concerned. These discs range in size from 8 inches to more than 8 feet in diameter. Bell-shaped alien craft, about 50 feet or so in diameter, 18 to 20 feet high, metallic, gray, somewhat flatter in appearance than the usual scout ship. Mother ship or carrier, elliptical, cigar-shaped, or egg-shaped. They have been reported up to 3,500 feet in length, however, there is no limit to their size. Green fireballs are means used by space people to protect us from the effects of the atomic and hydrogen explosions in our atmosphere. Q. What are other planets like? A. One of their planets is a planet slightly smaller than our Earth. It is in the stage that the earth was in many thousands of years ago, young and healthy, with beautiful foliage, streams, forests, large bodies of water, mountains, hills. As a matter of fact, there are some places in California today that resemble their planet. It is beautiful and verdant and a veritable paradise. There are also places in South America similar to places I have seen on their planet. They plan to keep their planet young, beautiful and healthy. Their atmosphere is very similar to ours, but the sun cannot penetrate it with destructive rays. The people are predominantly light-skinned and fair. Q. Do they have governments, cities, country places, farms, gardens, factories, schools, etc.? A. They do not have authorities or government officials of any kind. They live in peace and harmony and everyone knows what his or her particular talent is so that they work at that particular job, and they love their work. Factories, there are buildings where work is done, or where the craft are built, but the buildings are beautiful places and not like our factories at all. They receive no coin in exchange for work. Instead they exchange talents, and everything is shared to the extent of their talents and desires and no one wants for anything. We work because we have to work. They work in service of their infinite Father. Farms, they grow fruits and vegetables and flowers. They do not raise meat-producing animals since they do not eat meat. Animals roam free and complete their cycle of life naturally. They are not overbred and overproduced for food. Schools, there are schools of wisdom where children or adults can attend. Most knowledge is inherent in the children, since they are born with the knowledge of the past. Their education is their past learning, which they apply in their present life to gain wisdom for future use. Cities, they live in small communities, built in the forests and close to natural surroundings. They do not denude the land of all trees and shrubs and then build boxes. Their communities are kept small, usually contain no more than a few thousand people. They are spread out and decentralized. Q. If a well-known people have been contacted, why don't they tell about their contacts? A. Government officials in particular refuse to tell because it would upset our economy. The knowledge they have gained depicts an entirely different way of life. It is living under God's law rather than man's law. Most mechanical energy sources would become obsolete. Q. Have all countries been contacted? A. People in every country of this world have been contacted. Q. Why do they contact only certain people? A. Certain people are born with an awareness of truth within themselves, or they are reborns from another planet, in which case their own are contacting them and awakening within them that one small spark of truth so that they become the flame of truth. These people must have the courage of their own convictions and the ability to take it, for they will suffer ridicule and attacks. Q. If they are coming here to help us, why are they concealing their identity? A. They are not particularly trying to conceal their identity, and to those they have contacted they have revealed themselves. Q. Are space people living here on the Earth among us? A. Yes, thousands of people from other planets are living among us. Some rebirths, some have come directly from their home planets in spacecraft. They may live next door to you. One of them may be your coworker, the person who serves you in a store or restaurant. They have one identifying trait, love of fellow man. Q. Why don't they tell us how to build a craft? A. Because it is like giving a child a firecracker, an automobile or gun. We cannot live with ourselves, let alone trying to live with people of other planets. We would use this power to conquer. On other planets there are no wars, and they would like to keep it that way. Q. If, as some reports indicate, some of our airline pilots are seeing flying saucers, and are said to be suffering from hallucinations or weather balloons, why are they not fired since the safety of our flights depend upon the pilots? A. Because authorities know the pilots are not suffering from hallucinations. They know the pilots are telling the truth, and saucers are being seen by too many airmen to adequately squelch the story. Q. What is the average lifespan on other planets? A. 800 years. Q. Have the space people brought us any pictures or films of their home planets? A. Yes. In the future, pictures taken on other planets will be shown here. These will include scenes of the planet, people, animals, etc. Q. What kind of clothing do the space people wear? A. On some planets, the women wear knee-length, billowing, tunic-like gowns of pastel colors. Some have no sleeves, yet some have long, full sleeves. The waist is sometimes held by a jeweled belt. The women do not wear girdles, bands, or any tight undergarments. The clothes are comfortable, airy, loose and beautiful, enhancing the contours of the female form. The men wear ski-type trousers, translucent and soft, something like nylon. The clothing both for men and women adjusts to the bodily heat so that it can keep them cool or warm as the temperature varies. A sandal-type foot gear is worn by both men and women. Q. Do they have families, children? What is their social setup? A. Two beings when perfectly mated stay together as long as their desire and mutual progress continue, sometimes for many of our lifetimes. They have children, and the children are loved by all. However, the children mature at a very early age. Their social setup is communal. They share the goods of life with one another. Yet, if it is their desire, they can have isolation and privacy at any time they wish. Q. At what age do children reach maturity on other planets? A. They mature in 3 to 5 years. A child on one of their planets shortly after birth is already equal to an Earth child of 7. Q. Do they nurse their children? A. Yes, the children are breastfed a few months, then are weaned on natural foods, such as fruit and vegetable pulp. They are not given animal milk. Q. Do the children go to school? A. They have communal-type schools or places where they are briefed on their own spiritual development. Most of their knowledge is within themselves, and in such schools it is encouraged to develop. Q. Do people work? A. There is no work as we know it. They have advanced mechanics and apparatus that do the work quickly and efficiently. All services are voluntary and rendered with love. All products are shared. They do have buildings where people go to perform services, where the various conveniences of life are made. Q. What is their religion? Do they believe in God? Do they believe in Jesus? A. Their religion, or, more properly, way of life, is serving their infinite Father, and attaining more knowledge, so they can serve their Creator to a higher degree. Jesus was one of them in the highest degree of development. Q. What are their homes like? A. On one of their planets, the buildings are dome-shaped and semi-translucent to permit light and color to enter. Some of the buildings resemble your own modern organic architecture. Q. What is the weather like on other planets? Do they have seasons? A. The seasons are not as drastic. For instance, on their planet most like Earth, as it is on Earth, they do have seasons, although the temperature is generally the same all year round, like perennial spring. However, in some sections they do have a change in season and temperature and experience winters. Q. Can we go to the other planets and be accepted and live as they do? A. Generally, no. We might, due to the difference in development and vibration, atmospheric pressures, etc., suffer a nervous breakdown. Some people from Earth, however, have gone physically to other planets aboard a craft and stayed there, not wishing to return. Others have returned after a learning period or visit, to help their Earth brothers. Those who do return usually remain silent as to their experience lest they be confined to a mental institution or suffer ridicule. Q. Can a disc-type craft return to one of their planets without having to depend upon a mothership for transport back? A. Yes, the craft has the ability to return to one of their planets on its own power without transport by a mothership. Q. What is the purpose of the mothership or carrier? A. The space carrier is used outside this system for extended trips into outer space. It transports cargo and equipment, along with many people. Q. Can space people take goods or plants from here back to their own planets? A. Yes. Many craft are sent here for specific botanical studies, and take many of our plants back with them for study and transplanting. Q. Can we transplant plants from their planets to Earth? A. Yes. Plants can adapt themselves to the conditions of varying frequencies in time. Q. Have some of our terrestrial plants been brought here from other planets? A. Yes. Some of our plants have been brought here from space. Q. Are the planets known by names different from the ones we call them? A. Yes. In some cases. In other cases, planets are designated by symbols. Our Earth, for example, has a specific symbol. Q. Do people from other planets have hair on their bodies as we do? A. They are not as hairy. In some cases, however, when a person from the main planet that helps Earth comes here, he will, after a short while, grow hair much faster than the ordinary Earth person. When they return to their own planets, they lose the hairy condition. Q. Does the frequency of a planet affect the mental development of its people? A. Yes. Q. Are men and women equal in social level on other planets? A. Yes. In fact, from a physical standpoint, it is more pleasurable to be a woman on other planets. Childbirth, for instance, is a thrilling and pleasurable event, not associated with pain or discomfort. Q. What is the difference between a reborn and a reincarnated being? A. A reborn, or rebirth, is a being who has volunteered to come to this planet from a higher planet or dimension, on a mission to teach his or her brothers and sisters and assist them in helping themselves gain more insight and understanding of the universal laws of the Creator. A reincarnated being is a direct rebirth from this planet due to a compensative hereditary expression of cause and effect in the physical illusion, or in other words, karma. Reborns, however, teach that one can live above karma, and that understanding and awareness is a higher law than cause and effect. Q. Is it difficult for a reborn to understand the reasoning of Earth people? Is their reasoning or understanding different? A. Reborns are usually masters or near masters, therefore, it is not difficult for them to understand the Earth reasoning or its people, however, it is, at times, difficult to live among them. Q. What is the difference between a master and a near master? A. A master can do anything, but does not. A near master, such as an adept, can do almost everything, and does. There is that small percentage of ego still operating that prefers to demonstrate through the individual ego, rather than operate God's law through many forms and people. A master appears confused, but is not, among those who are confused, just to be one of them. A near master appears calm and in control before the confused, and prefers to remain aloof from humanity. A near master can leave, mentally or physically, and appears before those people then, as a master. A master directs indirectly the laws of God through the confused people around him, because when they act on what they term as their own thoughts, these actions are recorded on their own subconscious, and they then learn through their own mental processing what the master has known for centuries. A near master directs throughout what he knows as God's laws, and the beings in the physical illusion do what they think he knows is right and do not learn as much. There are four real masters in the world today. One is in the United States, one is in India, one is in Australia, and one is in South America. The near masters do not know of the masters, but the masters know of the near masters, and of the reborns, who do not know of themselves as near masters and or reborns. This realization of one's near mastership usually comes somewhere between the ages of 30 to 40. Q. Are the masters celibates? A. No. God is married to the infinite universe. All masters are married. It takes a master to get married and perform physically that which is taken for granted that a master would not do. Sometimes it is a matter of choice. The sexual expression is one of the highest expressions of God, in that it takes in the sense of touch. When we speak of sex, we interpret it to mean physical union expressed through love and understanding, not sex as expressed for, and by itself. Sex expressed purely on the physical plane for itself and in improper balance with another being is adulterous. Two beings, perfectly combined in all areas, that is, in the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, should be joined as one. Wedded incompatibility is the true adultery. Q. What is a flashback? A. A mental picture of an experience, or a feeling of remembering a place or lifetime on this planet or another planet. Only brains and mental makeup of reborns can tune into flashbacks. Certain granules in their brain cells, which by previous development, will respond to flashbacks. Q. Why don't we remember past lives? A. The memory of past lives is drained out of us from childhood onward. Children's fantasies, imagination and play are sometimes really flashbacks and or regressive memory. Q. How are the visitors trying to raise the mass consciousness of the people? A. By various methods such as A. dissemination of saucer research data. B. Stories of contacts with their own. C. Their signs in the sky. D. Mechanically by means of mental capsulation, and machines. Mental capsulation can be projected by sound, color, vibration. A high-frequency sound can be a mental capsulation. A song or a selection of music can be a mental capsulation. Music in the form of a mental capsulation helps push certain buttons in their mind and releases something which is there. However, because of the way we eat, think, and act on this third-dimensional planet, this knowingness is held dormant, sometimes through several lifetimes. Nevertheless, God's laws shall prevail. And those who are due this release to warden awareness will have it when the time in the cycle of expression of this planet is ripe. The machines which send out supersonic high-frequency sounds use a man's body as a terminal in conjunction with the mental capsulation. There are three terminal bodies in each state. The machines now operate on a silent carrier wave. Q. What is the will of the Father and how can it be developed? The will of the Infinite Father is to express in all dimensions, the love of the Infinite Father in all forms, colors, sounds, tastes, and expressions. Q. Will there ever be an interchange of peoples, ideas, and cultures between their planets and our own planets so that there will be brotherhood throughout our galaxy? A. This is inevitable. You can delay God's plan, but never stop it. Interplanetary brotherhood for Earth's people is dependent upon the degree of decline of hostility and the degree of increase toward tolerance, love, and goodwill toward our fellow men. 2. A profound space teacher in late August, 1956, I had what was perhaps the most memorable meeting of all when I was privileged to meet one of the most advanced beings from another planet. I went to field location number 1 just at sunset. And the craft, coming in from the west, looked like a huge sun descending from the sky. I remembered hearing the accounts told of the miracle of Fatima. Witnesses had described a huge, fiery ball, which they thought was the sun, moving in the sky, as if headed for Earth. I wondered if there had been some connection with the space people. This craft appeared much different than the usual type. In fact, I smiled to myself as I noted it looked like an inverted translucent china cup, however, without a handle, set into a saucer. This ship was larger than the others and had portholes in series of 4. Like our own aircraft, The vehicles used by the space people are of many different types and designs. When it landed, I walked to within 100 feet of it when two men stepped out of it and waited, one on each side of the door. I sensed something important and unusual was about to take place. I walked closer, then stopped, waiting for a feeling or sense which would indicate it was all right to proceed further. Then the magnificent sight appeared in the doorway. A tall, handsome man with long blonde hair over his shoulder stood towering at the entrance. He looked directly at me as he stepped out of the ship. Then he came toward me. But he seemed to float or glide rather than walk. His body appeared to be weightless. When he was about 25 feet from me, he stopped and I continued walking toward him. When I was about 10 feet from this magnificent creature, he raised his arms, indicating I was to stop. The sight of the man thrilled me. He was dressed in a radiant white ski-type uniform, girdled about the waist with a white belt. The garment was tight at the ankles and wrists, yet the sleeves were full and loose. The neckline was high, similar to that of a turtleneck sweater. Over the uniform he wore a light blue, fluorescent-like cape, fastened at the left shoulder with the gold pin in the shape of a wheel. A slight, enigmatic smile played on his lips as he looked at me, while the expression in his eyes was one of pure love and understanding. I felt like a small child, humble and loving, and I wanted to embrace him as a long-lost friend and remembered loved one. I believe I had the same feelings I would have experienced had the Master Jesus just stepped out of the craft. I studied his face, it was all compassion and love. His skin was fine and white, his nose straight. His eyes were the color of goldenrod when it is ripe, yellow as the oblique rays of the setting sun met the equally radiant light of his eyes. His fingers were long and tapering. Truly, he was beautiful as a woman, but with the bearing and masculinity of a strong, virile man. The moment he raised his arm, he began to communicate with me telepathically, and in 5 minutes of such transmission he gave me more knowledge than one could absorb in a week or more of solid study and aural transmission. One might compare it with the same situation ascribed to a drowning person, whereby an entire life is said to flash before him in a few brief seconds. In the same manner, certain knowledge was transmitted to me in a few minutes which would pertain to life and the future. This transmission took the form of pictures. Mental words would have taken too long, and, as the Chinese say, one picture is worth 1,000 words. It could be described as a form of telepathic television type of communication. I received the mental pictures as rapidly as a moving picture and occasionally heard the sound of his rich, deep voice blending into the pictures. Some of the concepts I received were too technical and advanced for me to understand. But at the same time he assured me I would retain the knowledge as a kind of mental capsulation, which would come out in small degrees over a period of time. I would be giving this information to people when I spoke to them in small and large groups. It would not be necessary for me to prepare a speech. The words would come to me as I recalled the information now being given me. When people asked questions, at that time I didn't know how many there would be, I would have the answers. Somewhere in the depths of my mind the knowledge was implanted and I had but to call on my subconscious to bring it forth. I shall never forget this awe-inspiring experience. It is too strongly impressed in my soul by the love, compassion and wisdom of this profound teacher. That wonderful being unlocked the door to my own soul, and in a few brief moments planted the seeds of infinite knowledge in my subconscious, which over a period of months and years gradually seeps out to my conscious expression. It reminds me of the ministry of Jesus. His entire message of love and goodwill toward mankind was a mental capsulation to the people of his time, and it is only now that the truth of his being is gradually coming out and the understanding of his great love is emerging from the quicksand of misunderstanding, at last into the sunlight of our conscious acceptance of the Infinite Father. Following is only a poor attempt to set down some of the words this teacher spoke or conveyed to me, and it is with humbleness and gratitude that I present them to my brothers on earth. Truth never was, never will be a theory, nor contemplative arrangement of philosophy of men, nor intellectual insight in the minds of men. Truth is. Great men on your planet think of truth in a different light, as compared with your brothers from space.